As a youngster, I loved the excitement of Christmas Day. All the getting ready and the decorating and the smell of cooking and the parcels, mysterious parcels. But I never liked the day after Christmas. After all the excitement the day before, there was such an anticlimax, a real letdown. The fire was out. The ashes were cold and looked miserable in the fireplace. The paper chains, well, we used to have paper chains in those days, draped across the room. They were down usually. There'd be dirty dishes in the sink. The poor old turkey looking pretty sorry for himself. And then there was the general sense of leftoverness in the air. Paper hats that were so funny yesterday when we all wore these paper hats. There they are lying discarded and rolled up on the floor. Wrapping paper everywhere. Bits of string, bits of coloured ribbon. Burned out candles. It all looked such a mess. And the mother would say, probably at breakfast, "Well, that's over for another year." And I suppose, in a sense, since she'd done all the work, it was over for another year. No, I never really liked that day after Christmas. I'm not sure why all this came to mind when I was thinking about Christmas again, thinking about the narratives of Christmas, and especially the one in Luke's Gospel. My mind drifted back to those pre-teen years at home, and then they drifted further back to what might have been going on that first Christmas. So let's take a look. Let's just for a moment or two let our minds and our imaginations wander. It's all so familiar, this story. So familiar, in fact, that it's starting to lose its startling announcement sense. Something of the impact has gone when you read the story in Luke's Gospel. Well, you've read it before, you heard it in Sunday school. But what was happening? A host of angels were praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. A Savior is born." And there were these shepherds, very ordinary folk, out in the field, looking after a bunch of sheep. No, a flock of sheep, I guess. And it says, and when the angels were gone away into heaven, when the darkness had come back, I'd like to think there may have been more than one scenario. You can choose which one you like. But just imagine, the angels have been singing, the sky has been brilliant with light, the song was resounding over the valley, and the shepherds were there. Just imagine this scenario. When the angels were gone away into heaven, and the darkness had returned, the shepherds said one to another, this is what I like to imagine at one scenario, the shepherds said one to another, "What were we talking about before that happened?" Or another scenario, "Well, that's over." But the third scenario is what St. Luke writes. It says, when the angels were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go." And it says they came with haste. They didn't hang about. It wasn't a debate. They didn't negotiate. They said, "Let's go." And they went and they hurried. This was life-shaking for them. And they got there as quickly as they could. And then Luke goes on to say, they found the baby lying in a manger. They were told they would, and they did. And that must have been very exciting. The words of the angels were confirmed. That hurried journey was not a waste of time. That Bethlehem trip was worthwhile. They found the one they were looking for. That was the first Christmas. Now what? Well, once again, it could have been this scenario that having stood in the stable, they could have oohed and aahed over the baby, then gone back to the sheep. Maybe they could have said, well, there's nothing more to do. We came and we've seen, now we can go home. But that's not what Luke says happened. There's a startling difference. It wasn't over. They left the stable, and far from carrying on as if nothing had happened, they shared their experience. It says they made known their experience. They left the stable behind, but not the experience. The angel song was in the past, but not the experience. For them, that was where it all began. And when you think of it, we all seldom think about the baby in the manger, what was going on for him. But he didn't stay in the manger for very long. That was only the beginning for him. 8 days later, according to today's gospel, he was presented and dedicated to God. At 12 years of age, we meet him very explicit in his statement, I must be about my Father's business. He's baptized, he's tempted, his ministry begins, and he gathers a small group of people around him, his followers. He calls them to follow him, and then begins slowly and deliberately to teach them precisely what following means. And he reaches out to the poor. He reaches out to the sick and the hungry and the vulnerable and the hurting, and reminds the disciples to keep on following. But it's still not over. And he makes his way quite deliberately, says Luke, quite deliberately to Jerusalem. And he's abused, and he's rejected, and he's questioned, and he's crucified. And right then, when everyone really, quite realistically, could say, well, it really is all over. Right, when everybody assumed it was all over, there was a resurrection. And even then, it's not all over. There's still work to be done. And so again, after the resurrection, he gathers that group of disciples together and reminds them that they are to continue the work, that there are still sick, there are still hungry, there are still hurting and vulnerable people. And with his authority, his followers are sent where? They're sent into all the world. Right then and there, they might well have preferred to stay quietly and unobtrusively in Jerusalem behind locked doors, because they were scared. Instead, they went into all the world. Maybe I have to think again about this feeling of anticlimax after Christmas. Maybe I've got to reflect all over again about the sense of letdown. Oh yes, I know the Christmas lights have gone, or they will in a few days. The Christmas songs, won't hear them so much now. They've been shut down. The lights have been turned out. Those blown up Santas on the lawns are looking very deflated. And only the occasional turkey sandwich turns up to remind us of what used to be. And what we do at that point is to discover all over again that it's not all over. Like the unknown shepherds, it's time to get up and move and discover Christmas all over again as a beginning to what all that Jesus calls us to be and do as followers. We may no longer hear the angel song. We may not see a baby in a manger. But we can't stay hoping that it will all turn up again. We can't spend all our time in the stable. That's the starting point. That's when it's time to share our Christmas story to ourselves, to one another, and to all people. A Saviour is born, Christ the Lord. That's a Christmas story that needs to be made known. That lies behind the song of the angels. That lies behind the manger and the stable. There's still a call to follow him. We too are called to be about the Father's business. We too are called to recognize the sick and the poor and the hungry and the vulnerable in our world. I have to think again about any lingering sense of anticlimax. The work of Christmas begins as we leave the stable and the manger behind. Our work as a faith community and as individuals is to make known that experience, that God is present with us, that God cares and loves. A Saviour is born, Christ the Lord. And we are sent out to do that. And that's when our world will hear once again the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace.